1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
David G. Hall is the Vice President of Syndication for our show, joins us from his office downtown. And David, two of the things we talked about before we got on the air would be of interest to our listeners. The possibility of war with Iraq is weighing on the minds of many, I don't know how many, but many, and what we would do here on the air should war break out.
That is true, and a couple of things I think we should bring up, Phil, and some of them I did not get a chance to talk with you about, is the other side to this argument that we should be going to war with Iraq. There's an anti-war movement in this country and around the world. If we go to war with Iraq, that's obviously not going to make those people happy. And so there's just enough of them out there to make this significant. What I'd like to do if we go to war with Iraq, is that we will not talk about the war with Iraq. We'll talk about other topics, and we're going to leave that one alone. It's my opinion you've been talking about it enough. It's my opinion that the other hosts have been talking about it enough. It's time for us to leave it alone, and I think the time is better now than later. So we're going to abandon all talk about the Iraq war, about what America's going to do after we win, and all these other suppositions, because the significance of the anti-war movement is such that we could lose listeners, we could lose advertisers. I'm not prepared to make that decision.
I mean, that comes as a surprise.
Why?
Because that's not really what we talked about, abandoning all discussion of America's efforts to win in Iraq because of an anti-war movement.
No, we talked about that. When war breaks out with Iraq, we're going to do something different, and the audience is going to recognize that it's a refreshing approach.
No, I know you mentioned us doing something refreshing and doing something different. I didn't know that it would be not talking about Iraq at all.
That's exactly what we're going to do. We will not talk about Iraq. We won't talk about Hussein. There are 200,000 people were in the streets in San Francisco the other day. You read the newspapers, right?
I mean, of course I do.
All right, you saw that.
Yes, I did.
All right. I can't risk the possibility of losing them. Now, look, people don't tune into the radio to hear a lot of comments on war. They tune in to hear contests. They want to hear discussions about other topics, health care, farm subsidies. Talk radio covers a lot more than war.
You're confident the audience, I'm just asking now, okay?
Sure.
You're confident the audience is going to want to hear this.
Let me explain something to you, Phil. I'm the number one programmer talk radio in the country, and I have been for the last 12 years. I've built talk stations, all right?
Yeah.
I know what the audience wants. I've decided that the best thing for talk radio audiences right now is to not talk at all about the possibility of war with Iraq.
Well, you mentioned the anti-war movement pressuring this.
Well, there's a significant number of people who pressured some of our advertisers into thinking about dropping if we're pro-war, and I stood up to them. I said, we will not talk about the anti-war movement, but they kept threatening, so I said, okay, I won't have any talk of war, pro or anti, on any of my stations, so the anti-war people can't get their message out. So I stood up to them. But I am not going to have any discussion of the Iraq war whatsoever.
Yeah, and anybody who's in favor of the Iraq war can't talk either.
I've decided, can't believe I'm arguing with you about this.
I just want to know reasons, that's all.
I've decided. You want reasons?
Yeah.
I decided. That's the reason.
David, okay, I'm not an 8-year-old kid who needs to be told, look, I said...
No, I know you're not an 8-year-old kid, but I don't have the time to explain to you. I say we're not talking about the Iraq war, and I've advised a number of talk stations around the country.
And this is a stand that all talk stations will take?
I've memoed as many programmers as I can. They know that I know what I'm talking about. They go along with it. So I'm respectfully asking you, starting today, I don't want to hear any more about Iraq and Saddam Hussein.
I've been talking about this for months.
Phil, what you don't know can't hurt you, and I think that's the less they know, the less they can be affected by it.
And when you say they, you're talking about the audience. But the information...
Look, it doesn't matter because I'll work with the programmers across the country to make sure there's no discussion of the war. So if you think the audience wants to talk about it, they won't have anywhere to go.
You don't have influence with the stations. You don't have...
Absolutely I do.
Where? Who?
Disney owns a number of radio stations, including right here in Los Angeles. They sit over there and wait and see what I got to do about things. They can't wait to hear what I do about stuff. You recall back after 9/11, everybody was waiting to see what Letterman was going to do? That's what talk radio does. They wait to see what I'm going to do. Now, you can look that up.
All right. David Hall is with us, and we're talking. It's an unusual step to forbid us to talk about Hussein, Iraq, or anything. The anti-war movement, I understand, is significant, but to have them pressure you...
They're not pressuring me. I don't want to lose any listeners. Some of them are against this war. Therefore, we won't talk about it at all.
I can't stop people from calling in and expressing an opinion.
Well, yes, well, you will. Yes, you will.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
You will not have anybody on the air talking about the Iraq war.
All right, I'm going to get the number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. On with me today is David G. Hall. He's the Vice President of Syndication. And I'm smiling to myself, David, because I don't know that you could actually keep me from talking about what will be one of the big news stories, obviously, of the year, if not the decade, if not the coming 50 years, and that is a potential war with Iraq.
I'm going to tell you this, Phil, and I'm going to tell you this as nicely as I can. You will not talk about any potential war with Iraq. Your listeners will not talk about any potential war with Iraq. You have a job. And
my job is to do a talk show and to solicit opinion and to make that opinion as informative.
No, it is not. Your job is to do what's best for the audience in terms of what they're interested in.
My audience is interested in whether or not this country's going to go to war with Iraq. Many of them have kids in the military.
No, they're not.
What makes you think, no, they're not?
Because they're not. Because I say they're not. Because the research that I've done has proven that they're not. Because most of those people out there don't have any kids in the military. Most of the people out there have never been in the military. Most of your listeners don't know what it is to be in the military, either from practical experience or having a son or daughter in the military. Most of them would wet their pants if they ever saw a real gun.
Well, most of them are taxpayers. Most of them are citizens. Most of them, whether they wet their pants with the sight of a gun or not, have a stake in this country. Most of them have a stake in the opinion-making of this country.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. But on your radio show and on the other radio shows around the country, we're not going to talk about this Iraq thing because I don't want to alienate anybody.
What about the people that do want to talk about it?
Well, as long as they're not hearing the anti-war people, they won't care.
Well, what about the anti-war people? And they want to talk about it.
If they don't hear the pro-war people, they won't care. You've got to understand, I've already got this figured out.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Should we just not talk about the coming Iraq war at all? That way we don't make anybody who is anti-war upset. Let's go to Deb. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Deb, go ahead.
Mr. Hall, whatever happened to freedom of speech? I mean,
well, you can go out and talk anywhere you want. You just don't do it on my radio station. In other words, I can't come into your house and talk the way I want to, can I? See? You don't come into my house. You're welcome to come into my house and talk about, I've got a list of topics, Deb, that we're going to approve. Health care, farm subsidies, women's issues.
But then you're limiting freedom of speech.
Reviews. No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I can't go in. Let me explain it to you again. I can't go into your house and talk about what I want to talk about, can I?
Well, wait.
But you're limiting your people to their freedoms.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
In other words, you're telling them, if you are telling them, are you going to fire them if they talk
about? Absolutely.
Wait a minute. She's making a good point. She's saying...
Look at Phil, you're on a federally licensed radio station. You don't get to say whatever you want to say. You say what I tell you to say. And the
that's
same
dictatorship.
That's called business. That's called running a business.
No, that's called dictatorship.
Yeah, do you get to go into your office and say anything you want? No. You say what you're told to say in your office where you work. Same thing here. Why on earth would I want to hear, or why would an audience of a talk show listeners want to hear what you have to say about it?
Wait a minute. It's one thing to talk about me. You don't put down the listener.
Well, I don't mean to put the listener down, but what has she got to say about it?
Maybe she's got something to say about it.
What?
I guess I was always very proud of the fact that we have a freedom of speech in the United States. And
yeah,
I really think you're coming across as a dictator.
You can go out on any street corner with a sign and say whatever you want. Who's keeping you from doing that?
In other words, somebody paid you enough money to keep your mouth shut, is what you're saying.
I just asked you a question. You can't answer it. You can go out on a street corner with a sign.
She's talking about going on a talk station, which has a little bit more reach.
Oh, well. And well, is the license in your name? Is the license in, does it say Deb from Green Bay is the licensee of this station? No. I'm David G. Hall. I built this station. I can tear it down.
So, David, in other words, or Mr. Hall, whatever.
If she's not in the, are you in the military, ma'am?
No, I'm not.
Are you?
No.
Do you work for the government?
No, I don't.
What am I listening to her for?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
No, what am I listening?
Because
wait.
I listen. Because I can turn off your show, and if enough people turn off your show, then you don't have anybody to listen, and then you don't have any advertisers either.
Well, we have advertisers. We just don't have you.
But then you're having advertisers.
You're not in the military.
No, I'm not.
Do you know anything about nerve gas, mustard gas? Do you have any information on troop movements? Do you know anything at all about the various fronts that we're going to use? Turkish military supply? Anything?
My point to you is, what you're saying
to
me.
The answer is no. So I'm going to sit here and listen.
Would you have some respect for the lady and listen to what she's saying, David? She's a listener of ours.
I understand. I'd love to hear. Where are you from, Deb?
Green Bay. Green Bay.
Perfect. Farm subsidies. You know all about that. Let's talk about that.
No, my point to you is, what you're saying to all the listeners is, no, wait a minute. You wanted to make a point. No, I want to make a point.
Yes, I'd like to hear what you have to say, Deb.
Yeah,
what
you're
ahead, saying
Phil.
Is...
You keep licking the kneecaps of the listeners.
Go ahead, Deb.
My point to you is, what you're saying to your listeners and to the people that work for you is that if you get enough money from somebody to keep your mouth shut on the subject, you're going to do that.
I haven't been paid a nickel.
But you're saying you don't want to upset the anti-war movement.
Because there's a lot of listeners.
No, you made a statement earlier that you had a lot of your people that were going to do business with you, and your advertisers say that they would pull their advertising if you spoke about that. So isn't...
Yeah, but Debbie, let's talk about something that you and I can have a meeting of the minds on, something that you might know something about. Tell me how much banana you put in your muffins. What do you do?
What do you mean, how
you
much banana?
You are insulting,
no,
because
ma'am. No.
What I'm talking about is freedom of speech.
Yes, freedom of speech, because we have...
Phil, is your name on the license for the station?
I understand what you're saying about...
Is Deb's name on it?
No, it isn't.
My name is me. I'm the licensee.
No,
so you're
not
the
licensee. You're not the licensee. You're the manager.
All right, but the company's the licensee. They're the ones that take the hit. If Deb gets on here and runs her mouth and gets us sued, does she get sued? No, she's anonymous. I get sued. Now, let's talk about it. How much, quote, banana do you put in your, quote, muffin? It's a joke. And
it is a crude, vulgar joke to a lady who has come in to talk about more serious things.
Well, I have to go. I have a meeting I have to be in.
I'm sorry, Deb. I feel
very bad for you to have to work for somebody.
Deb, I believe in freedom of speech. Speech about something people know about. Like, are flats better for your back or heels? What, you know. Hello?
Is insulting the listener, is that what we're going
to
do?
I'm not insulting her, Phil. What I'm trying to do is get the lady to understand the point that... Rather than cause a lot of problems and rancor, we're simply not going to allow any discussion of the Iraqi military situation.
We'll talk about farm subsidies and women's issues.
Exactly. I will not allow on this station or any other station talk about the Iraq situation. It's bad enough what our guys have got to face. It's worse to have to listen to people's uninformed opinions about it. This is a national security issue.
What about that crude crack about the banana in her muffin?
I apologize. I thought I was lightening the mood.
Lightening the mood. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall, of Vice President of Syndication. An extremely unorthodox decision that I'm fighting, and you can hear me fighting it, that there will be no discussion of Iraq, the Iraq war, Saddam Hussein, or any of it from this point forward until the end of any potential war, because the anti-war movement will be offended, number one, and number two, most people, most of you guys, my listeners, don't have an informed opinion on it, and it will only serve to make the situation worse, which I suppose he has that right. I don't think he has the right to come on here and say crude cracks like he did to that lady. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That's all I'm saying.
David G. Hall, the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Hendry Show and a lot of other talk shows around the country, and he is telling us, you're saying that it is the wish of the programming side to not talk anymore about Hussein and the Iraq war.
Things have gotten too explosive, Phil. The anti-war movement is on the rise. A lot of very important people are involved in the anti-war movement. I do not want personally to have to deal with it. I tell you what, listening to one of your listeners who drives a truck for a living talking about what weapons we should be using in Iraq insults my intelligence. It insults my intelligence. How would a guy or that gal who was on a farm or whatever it was in what was it?
What?
The lady. What was she?
What do you mean, what was she?
Where was she from?
She was from Green Bay.
So what's a farmer going to tell me about the, war with...
You know that a lot of these folks that are either farmers or truck drivers or insurance agents were military men and women at one time? They may be veterans. You know, my old man sold business machines for a living, but he was a veteran. There were a lot of guys teaching school. They're veterans. There's all kinds of people.
Like, I'm gonna sleep better at night knowing Bonnie from, Butthole or whatever feels that we should start with an air assault. Come on! You know better than that.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Clancy. Go ahead.
Well, I just want your friend there to know that I spent 26 years in the military.
My name's David
Hall. I've been shot at a lot of times. And the only reason, and my principal reason for staying was that I thought this country was worth it. I thought we had free speech. We could listen to what we wanted to. You could say what you wanted to. I don't agree with those protesters at all.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
They have the right to say what they want to say. If we don't have the guts to listen to them and make our own case, then we're cowards.
The problem is
your friend.
Clancy,
I don't care if he owns a how many radio stations.
This is David Hall.
If you don't have the fortitude to stand up
for what is right,
that's for nothing.
I need to ask you a question, sir.
You can listen to whatever.
Are you still carrying some lead in your body from when you were shot at?
Pardon?
Are you still carrying any lead in your body from when you were shot?
Yes, I didn't.
Okay.
I'm not carrying any lead. I had got shot through the leg, and the bullet went through. Yes.
Oh, it didn't stay in.
Pardon?
It didn't stay in?
No, it went right on through. It took a piece of meat out of my leg, but that was fine.
No, did it hit
because
anybody?
Because I stayed there, and I... Pardon?
Did it hit anybody behind you?
What's this got
to do? I don't know. No, not to my knowledge.
Okay.
I lost a lot of troops over that time, though.
Clancy, I'd love to hear you talk about what Jell-O pudding tastes snappier or these things, but the war, it's way over your head.
The guy's a veteran. What do you mean it's way over his head?
I tell you what, if it's way over my head, you shouldn't talk about it. You should be the one that slays off the phone.
You
sure as hell shouldn't have the authority
to
tell people what they can hear and what they cannot hear. Unless you've experienced yourself.
Hold on, Clancy.
His name isn't Lenny.
Hold on, Clancy is what I said. 1-800-449-8686. David G. Hall, our program director, has said no more discussion of Iraq at all. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Clancy, you're there, right, sir?
Yes, I'm
there. All right, and Mr. Hall, you're there?
I'm here.
All right, I want to bring on Lloyd. He is a veteran of the Lloyd, you're a veteran of the Korea conflict, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you were in the Navy?
Yes, sir. I was at Chosin Reservoir with the U.S. Navy. We pulled the Marines out of there.
And you were wounded in combat?
Sir, I have a Purple Heart. I was wounded on board a minesweeper. I had ordnance. Some of the ordnance that we carried went off.
All right, and Clancy, you're from Korea, right?
Well, I just wanted to jump.
No, I want to ask
I spent more time in Vietnam.
Okay.
I got in at the end of the Korean
thing. I want to tell this guy, this program director of yours, if he tried to keep me from saying what I wanted to say, that I've got a five-finger bouquet for him.
Listen, both of you old-timers, I respect you guys, but nobody tells me what to put on my radio station.
So you're gonna edit out the opinions of veterans who served in the conflicts? You know something, son? You are a piece of human waste with two legs and a hat.
Well?
Well, you know, that's very colorful.
I have to agree with him.
You agree with him?
Absolutely. Yeah, I sure do.
You are a piece of something that came out of someone's...
Okay, sir. I mean, the point is made.
Well, Phil, I didn't know the new target audience was 82+. You know,
these two guys are vets. I like talking to these guys. They've got a little experience. They've walked on the edge.
You better GD believe I've walked on the edge, and I came back to talk about it. And this guy you got on right now telling me what I'm going to say. You know something? In the Navy, we used to wear these steel-toed boots. We wear them on deck in case, you know, we got shelled or anything. And I could take this, and I could drive his testicles right up into his throat. Is that right, Clancy?
I'd be happy to watch.
There you go.
You'd kick my
Where'd you learn to speak? Yeah, that's exactly right. And when I turn on that United Nations and I see those French talking the way they talk, I'd love to take that frog. And what we used to do in the Navy is we'd drop a guy's head right down on top of your knee, and then the next thing you know, he's got no nose. I do the same thing with you.
What are we talking about? The UN? Are you, what do you got, a mouthful of hairballs? You.
All right.
Well, I got a mouthful of hairballs. You.
All right, Clancy, did you want to follow up with anything?
No, this guy's trying to not validate all of these guys that were in the service, and you know, and a lot of them that didn't come home. And I put a number
wait
of them.
A minute, wait, no, I'm not doing
And the reason they were there, they didn't want to be, a number of them didn't want to be there. There was no reason for, they believed in what they were doing. And that's why they were there. And that's why we believe in this country.
I'm talking about the idiots.
We have free speech, and we say what we want to say.
That's right.
And we listen to what we want. We don't have a restricted telephone or a restricted radio.
I'm not talking about
you
guys.
Yes or that.
I'm talking about these idiots that call and don't know what they're talking about.
Well, what idiots are those?
I don't want to sit here all day long listening to Debbie from Green Bay, who's been milking a cow all morning. And you'll be teabagging yourself, David, when I'm done with you. So just relax,
whatever that means.
Wouldn't you like to know?
All right. Thanks, Clancy.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Lloyd.
Well, you're not going to hang up on me, you no-good piece of walking.
That's what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about idiots calling the show when the Iraq war is going and we need information. Do I need to listen to your listeners talk about it? Oh! Unbelievable.
Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, Jim, go ahead.
I'd like to ask Mr. Clancy how us stupid Americans become informed.
Well, unfortunately, Clancy's hung up. My name's David Hall.
I'm sorry, David. I'd like to ask you how do us stupid cow-milking Americans become informed?
You're asking me?
Yeah, isn't the media one of the forms that be...
Let me explain something, Jim. You don't have a constitutional right to listen to the radio.
I think what he's suggesting...
No, I know what he's suggesting. He's asking me how to keep himself informed. I don't know. Go down and read a comic book. It's not
your
my job.
Point,
it's not my job. My job's to make money for my company. Are you blind? Read a paper. They got Braille now.
Okay.
Let me ask you another
question.
They got the New York Times
point,
in Braille.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Your point is that you don't want to alienate somebody. I've never called a radio station in 37 years.
Absolutely.
And I feel strongly enough about this. What's keeping the anti-war people from calling this radio station?
I don't want to hear anti-war people. They're going to get pissed off.
What's keeping anybody who has an opinion from calling the radio station?
All you pro-war people scare them.
I gotta hold on for a minute. Mr. Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
I thought you hung up.
No, sir, I did not.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
What? I'm not pro-war or against war right now. I'd like to learn the facts. And the way that we do that is discussing it.
Jim, hold on. Lloyd, I got to hang up on you.
Well, sir.
All right, go ahead, Jim, because I got too many people on the line. Go ahead.
Well, and this is a way that we become informed. If I was interested, I don't have to inform you.
I can put country music on this station if I wanted to. What are you going to say then? You should go down to the newsstand, pick out some newspapers and books, and read up on the situation.
But that doesn't answer the question.
Wait a second.
What?
Get off the phone.
Well, what is talk radio for? Well, women's rights? Is that what we're here to discuss?
Talk radio is a form of entertainment. It's to entertain the people listening. If they're entertained listening to you and me, then we got listeners.
Well, what about me? And how are the?
Well, how is it this guy keeps getting on the air? Will you throw him off the air, please?
Why don't you go to a town hall discussion or something? Go to a PTO meeting. I understand auctions are very informative. Anything, just not my radio station.
Well, you can go to hell as far as I'm concerned.
Go ahead, Jim.
Sir, what I don't understand
I've
is the most...
I've got a bullet lodged in my right buttock.
Will you please get that guy off the air?
Go ahead, Jim, I'm here.
This is the most important topic right now.
What, the bullet in his ass?
No.
The Iraq War.
I have two small children, okay?
Are they in the war? Are they in the army, or were they...
No, can I finish my statement, please?
Go ahead.
And the outcome, you know, things are different now than they were before September 11th, okay? And the outcome of this war could change my kids' future. And I think that that's something worth talking about.
Maybe for the better.
Maybe
for the worse.
You're right.
We don't know.
Hopefully it's for the better. God willing, it's for the better. But the point is,
I want to know, how hard is it for a gay man to raise those two kids? Because a lot of the...
Wait a minute.
What?
He didn't say he was gay.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought I heard him say that.
I'm not gay. Married with two children. But thank you, sir.
Married to a lady.
Married to a lady.
Okay.
So, what do you...
That has nothing to do...
Can we get that guy?
What do you want? I told you...
This is the most important...
What the hell he's doing?
All right, Jim.
Can I talk?
You... Ask.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Whitney Houston's dealer.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
We're going to get to our flashback in just a minute. I want to let you know a lot of people have been emailing. Do we have any more of the Martin Sheen packages left, which have the white flag, the Vaseline, and the plastic zip tie handcuffs? I don't know. The plastic zip tie handcuffs, by the way, so you can handcuff yourself if your plane gets hijacked and you don't have to trouble the guy who hijacked it to do it for you. So if we have some left, yes, we will send them out to you, but I don't know if we do. Email us, phs@philhenryshow.com. From yesterday's show, Don Parsley was on to tell us how he lost his job because of the Eastern snowstorm.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You took your daughters in for physicals.
Yes, sir.
To a Cuban doctor that does not speak English.
No, ma'am, I never said that. I said he speaks English with a very thick accent, ma'am.
So you're just saying I told you in Spanish what the diagnoses were in Spanish, and you said that's exactly what he said.
Yeah,
so
because I don't know what he said.
Obviously, your doctor doesn't speak any English.
He came out, and he said, Samantha has a brain tumor, and you thought it meant Claire has leukemia.
So
or
who's Claire?
Something like that, yeah. I'm sorry, ma'am?
Who's Claire?
That's my daughter.
I thought your daughter's name was Samantha.
Yes, one of them. I have three daughters, one Samantha.
Oh, now it's three daughters. I thought you had two daughters and a boy.
I have two daughters and a boy. My son is, and I this is tough for me to admit, my son's effeminate sometimes.
Oh, come on. You know what?
Wait a minute, man.
You're sick.
No, ma'am. All I'm saying...
Come on, pal. What do you mean your son's effeminate?
Yeah, he's going to say that his son's a fag.
No, ma'am, I did not say fag. I said sometimes he is a...
Oh, he's a feminist. What's the difference?
Well, my daughter Carly had a brain tumor. My daughter Amanda has leukemia.
And now your son's a fag. Now he goes by the name of Claire.
That's exactly
what you said.
No,
I may be Cuban, but I ain't stupid.
No, ma'am. I don't think you're stupid because you're Cuban. My doctor is a Cuban. He just has a thick
accent. Obviously, you don't understand your doctor, but I think you know
what? No, that's right.
I think the only one with a mental problem here is you.
Ma'am,
I think you're using this radio station to make money and to probably use it on drugs. I don't know what, but you know what? You're sick. This
ma'am,
is pathetic.
Ma'am, I think that is wrong to say I'm using drugs.
No, you're pathetic. You know what? You don't use your kids to make money off of anybody.
I think you need to either get your story straight here, Dawn, or...
No, ma'am, but you have to understand, when a man has a thick accent like that, it sounds like la-la-la-la-la, la-la-la.
Oh,
no, that's all I understand.
You know what? Maybe
my
you should have better excuses.
Ma'am,
you're
my
really
doctor...
Sick. Honestly,
my doctor told my wife that she had cervical cancer, she had had a cold, and I thought he said cervical cancer. All she said was she had a virus. And can you imagine how thick his accent is? So everything that's going on...
You know something, Don? According to you, your life has been destroyed because your Cuban doctor's accent is too thick.
Maybe you should get changed doctors. You know, if you have that kind of a problem with a doctor... I work for doctors.
Ma'am,
okay?
I have bigger problems than that. My home... I lost my job on Tuesday. All I want to do is get winter coats for my two daughters.
And $150 shoes for your son.
Because my boy
was... Who goes by the name of Claire at times.
You know, you got to admit, Don, you're drowning in your own bull crap.
Yeah, it's bull crap.
You got it. Jesus said, wherever the least of my people are, that's where I am. And the two of you are making fun of Jesus Christ right now.
You know what? You're pathetic.
You're
using
making fun
Jesus,
of Jesus
Christ to your convenience.
You are, man, because you're making fun of me, and Jesus is with me right now. And
no,
my
Jesus
daughter,
is not with you. You know
Jesus
what? You need psychiatric help.
Why do I
that's
need psychiatric
need,
help
buddy.
When my son is so gay acting that sometimes I...
Oh, buddy, you are sick. You know what? You're really sick.
Sir, that is your son. Why would you confuse him for a girl?
Because
he acts
very gay at times.
And you're getting him $150 basketball shoes? That's how gay he is?
Yeah, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a WNBA, hello. Ma'am, if you worked for a Cuban doctor, he could have said to you, I'd like to give you a raise, and maybe you thought he was saying, do you want to see my thing
you know
or something
what?
Like
if
that?
If he gave me a raise, I would very much understand it because that meant that I earned it. But
no,
you know
but
what? You need to get a life.
If his accent, Monday was just a terrible day. I crashed my car, I lose my job, and
you
I call this radio.
You know what? We all have problems. Life is tough. But you know what? You're using the radio station and you're using the listeners to your convenience to feel for people to feel pity for you so you can make money off of them. You know what? You need to get a life. And this story about your is all bullcrap.
A story about which one?
About all three of them.
No, one.
Or all four, because according to your story, you have four now.
So I guess
you even have a
22-year-old
daughter.
All right, so you think I'm a liar, right?
You are.
Okay, so if you won't believe this one because it's absolutely true, but you won't believe it.
What's true?
What I'm going to say to both of you now, and you will not believe it, but it's true. And all I can say is Jesus in heaven, he knows I'm telling the truth.
All right, what?
My wife was abducted by aliens.
Oh, no.
2 years ago. Okay.
Get out of here.
All right, then Jesus Christ knows I'm telling the truth, and the two of you can burn in hell.
That's fine, but
yeah,
you know what?
Yeah, my wife
you're
was taken
first,
away
buddy.
By a spaceship.
You're going first.
A spaceship.
You know, because you're trying to steal money from
no, I'm not,
people
ma'am.
Who are trying to help
No,
everybody.
I'm not. All I'm trying to say is my children are left motherless because people from outer space decided to take my wife.
Look, I don't know what you're on or what you're smoking,
yeah, you know
but you
something.
Better lay off it.
What
look,
have
guys,
I done
I gotta
wrong?
Go. I have
what
my
have
kids
I done
in the
wrong?
Car.
Well, how much are you going to give me? How much are you giving me?
How much am I going to give you?
Yes.
You better get a job if you want something, buddy.
All I ever wanted to do was get my wife back from outer space.
Well, make sure the aliens return her to you unused.
Unused? Oh, so they're putting it to her with their alien penises?
All right, never mind.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah. You know, we didn't need that last little tag out there, but I had to throw it in, didn't I? Could have just let it sit, let it be. Oh, they're putting it to her? There's Don Parsley, and that's archived. It's on our website. If you want to hear it again, you can go to our website, philhenryshow.com, if you want to hear it again. If you want to just listen to it over and over again. But you need a backstage pass. You got to get a $6.95 backstage pass. All of it is on the website there. You just go to philhenryshow.com and pick one up. It's going to be a beautiful thing. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I was talking today about the, you know, we were talking yesterday. Did I mention yesterday the schedule that we've got coming up this next month? We're going to go to Aspen next week, which is no problem. But at the end of the month, I'm supposed to be standing in front of a TV camera someplace doing this pilot. If we go to war with Iraq, we got to be on the air. So this was the impetus for a major meeting today with folks. And I'll tell you, the people at NBC are they're great because they worked out a schedule that maybe, you know, I won't die doing this thing if, like I say, we go to war. What we will do is we'll do a remote broadcast. We'll just have our studio set up, our broadcast facility will be set up over at NBC. So Craig and I will do it from our remote site, which is, you know, it's fine, you know. But it's going to be nuts. And everybody thinks I'm going to die of a heart attack. My wife was crying last night. What are you crying about? Because you're getting older. And you, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I said, I used to party till 4 a.m., get up at 5 and go to work. You're not 22 anymore. So I'm 50. Whatever. I've decided to make that birthday party like an annual thing, right? Because everybody makes such a big deal out of turning 50. What do you, like, not want to turn? You don't want to be alive and get older? So I'm just going to, every year, I'm going to party even heavier and hardier and even more dangerously until I kill myself at, say, 52. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The Martin Sheen package, that is the white flag, the jar of Vaseline, and the plastic zip tie handcuffs may be still available. Email us, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. Now, Phil Hendry.
I honestly don't know if we have any more of the Martin Sheen packages. The Martin Sheen package includes the white flag, the jar of Vaseline, and the plastic zip tie handcuffs that you can tie your own hands together with and not trouble the terrorist who's hijacking your plane over that. I don't know if we have any more of those. Just email us. We'll find out. Yes, the Martin Sheen package with the white flag and the jar of Vaseline. I don't know if we have enough of those. Actor James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones, the voice of CNN, the voice of Darth Vader, has come out in support of the United States military action in Iraq. How do you like them apples? Jesus. James Earl Jones. He says we can no longer, though, play any games. We go in, we get the job done. In, do the job, out. He said, we were right to go into Somalia. We just didn't finish the job. We were right to go into Bosnia. We needed to finish the job. And we're right to go into Iraq. James Earl Jones. Just when you think the Vaseline had been passed around just a little too frequently down there in Hollywood. Celebrities take center stage opposing the Iraq conflict. Who else? New York Post gleefully labeled Baghdad Sean. Where's the story about these guys that support? Here it is. While most famous faces have spoken out against the war, a handful have voiced their support for President Bush, including Harrison Ford. What do you mean support for President Bush? Support for the country is the way I see it, but then I, you know. Harrison Ford, Tom Cruise, and Dennis Miller. activists on both sides of the issue have accused their ideological foes of singling out celebrities instead of focusing on the issues. Now, that's very funny, considering the fact that the celebrities are the ones that get up front in those parades. They hold on to the banners. They call the press conferences. Why wouldn't I single them out? You want me to single you out, I'll single you out. If you want me to single you out for Vaseline jokes, just keep right on marching in front of those, in front of the parades there, man. Every day there's an article about it. I think there's a need on the part of some celebrities to feel a kinship with, oh, I don't know, the political activism in Hollywood of the late 40s and early 50s. The Hollywood 10, the people that perhaps they want to make up for all of the turncoat blacklisting that went on in the 50s. Maybe they're confused. How should they really feel about Elia Kazan? Who's Elia Kazan? We don't know. He did something bad, I guess. I don't know. Nick Nolte looked all pissed off. Of course, I don't know whether when he looked worse, when he got popped for driving drunk on PCH or when he was sitting there scowling at Elia Kazan. When do you think he looked more like just a tired, old, pruned-up man? I say when he was sitting there looking at Elia Kazan with his thumb parked. Who the hell is Elia Kazan? He made a couple of movies. Is that who he is? Great, let's move on. But Hollywood has always been politicized to a degree and always has taken a stand on the tough issues. Let me tell you about Hollywood. This is a little history for you, just so you know. Hollywood always has done the best job that Hollywood's ever done is patting itself on the back. You'll be interested in this story, honest to God. In the war, right over here, I'm broadcasting from Los Angeles, and this is a fascinating fact. Right over here on Cahuenga, between Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset, was a place called the Hollywood Canteen during World War II. This was a place where GIs could go, have a cup of coffee, have a drink, have a beer, and have a dance with a Hollywood star. There were tons of GIs in Los Angeles in the 40s waiting to ship out to the South Pacific. Thousands came through here. Thousands and thousands. These guys stood in line for an hour so they could get into this canteen, get a drink, and have a dance for maybe 2 seconds with whoever the hell was a star back then, right? The most important facet of that establishment was the stars getting their mugs shot so they get their face in the newspaper. They hung around for about 15 minutes and then they split. And then they made a movie out of it called Hollywood Canteen. And the whole movie was about what a great place Hollywood is. And aren't they just great for our guys, our soldiers, our GIs. I really don't know whether they really cared about the GIs or not. Bob Hope, that whole Bob Hope thing, you know, I understand that the man is elderly and he's done some great things. Don't get too over the top of that Bob Hope stuff. Bob Hope hung out with generals and he hung out with politicians. I don't know how many dog faces and grunts that guy actually knew or hung out with. They say Marlene Dietrich was better. She hung out with the guys. She, in fact, she was caught behind German lines. They had to get her out of there. But the point I'm trying to make here is if there's one thing that Hollywood's good at, it's good at patting itself on the back and checking its pose in the mirror and, you know, kind of licking down the eyebrows with their fingers and making sure everything looks just so. That and being dumb. Which, you know, here's another picture of Sean Penn. Sean, if I were you, I would take your publicist out and I would shoot him behind one ear and just leave him there. Because every time your kisser's in the newspaper, it looks worse and worse. Look at this. Does that guy look like, right there, he looks like some cat that you would see at a party on a Friday night after too much meth. Just, how you doing, Sean? I'm okay. Where's my car? I don't know, man. I didn't park it. Oh. But anyway, today we find James Earl Jones coming out in favor of it, so maybe things are looking up there. And the French bashing in the United States is on the rise as well. In a moment, we're going to be talking to representatives from the United Nations. French bashing, this is what they call French bashing. So some guy dumps some wine down a sink, another guy doesn't want any French caviar, and somebody else isn't selling French fries. And Americans, generally, our view of the French is unfavorable. It's dropped 20%. Other than that, nobody's bashing any French. There's French citizens living in this country, and nobody's reporting any hate crimes against the French. We do with our sense of humor. Then they had a picture of the president of France in a newspaper in France looking like a worm. Jacques Chirac, they had a head on a worm. That's as tough as it gets for the French. What, are they upset with that? You got to give us a little outlet here, man. We've had to put up with you guys for years. Give us something, anything. I don't want to drink your wine. I don't eat your caviar. I just don't want to know you. That'd be the best thing, is to not even know that you're around. Every time I look up, though, you're sticking your nose into something. You're making stuff. You're making things difficult for us. And they had an article about in The Sun, which is an English newspaper. They had a picture of Chirac looking like a worm, and it was all published in French. And one of the lines was, and this was a British newspaper, the French wanted America's help when they were under the Nazi boot, but now all of a sudden they don't know us. You forget you owe other nations, and in particular the United States and Great Britain, which came to your help at the time of two world wars. And it concludes, in the name of our 10 million readers, we ask you this question: aren't you ashamed of your president? Now, how do you think the French respond to this?
It rolls off my ass, you know, I don't care.
Because they're just going to push right ahead with their agenda, whatever that is. They don't even know. All they want is a headline in a newspaper. Just want to get the picture in the paper. One of the ministers said it was depressing. Somebody else said, sacre bleu. Another one said, hand me the toilet paper. They don't care. They're just going to go right ahead and, you know, dunk pound cake at the Waldorf and sniff scented handkerchiefs. That's their whole thing. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, making pot brownies.
Let's go to John. Go ahead, John.
Phil, how you doing?
Fine.
Well, let me tell you something. Every single day I've been listening to your show.
Is that right, my friend?
What's that?
Is that right, my friend?
Well, that's right, because every time I listen to your show, you're always complaining about the World Trade Center going down, and you guys got one black eye. You Americans got one black eye. You're making such a big deal out of it. Why don't you look on the other side of the world? Look at those fellow Muslims who are actually going through hardshipness, the Palestinians, there day after day, and you, bloody idiot, thinking that you guys are the best. Well, let me tell you something. You guys are nothing.
God. Are you done, you Canuck?
Let me tell you something,
stupid
Phil.
Stupid Canadian. You stupid,
stupid
dumb.
Stupid Canadian. Stupid American is what
ask,
you guys
can I ask
are.
You question? Let me ask you something. You've just called us names, so I thought I'd fire back a little one at you. What exactly is the big pain that Canada's been going through?
Well,
tell me all about the hardship you got up there. Tell me about what building fell down up there and 3,000 of your people died.
Well, the
what terrorist attacks have you guys suffered lately?
Our nose are always out of it. You guys poke your nose in every little thing that happens.
Or maybe we're keeping your nose
you
out of it.
Black eye.
Maybe we cut your back on so many things you don't have to suffer half the stuff we do. Maybe we got Canada's back on so much that you guys sit up there making patty cake on a hockey rink while we're down here with 3,000 of our people getting butchered up. Have you thought about that?
3,000 butchered up? Huh? 3,000 is like the minimum to what's happening across the world.
This has got to be a put-on call. Who is this? Is this you, Craig?
This is John right here.
Oh, okay, John. Thought it was Craig. So what's the problem, man? You got a tear in your eye for the ragheads?
Why don't you one day at least open your eyes, realize...
My eyes have been open all of my life, my friend.
Read it.
My eyes have been open all of my life. You talk about Palestine? I can talk to you about
Palestine.
I can talk to you about Palestine for days, weeks, years, decades, eons, if you'd like. Palestine. Let me tell you something. The only reason why Israel is on the West Bank today, or maybe you didn't hear, is because they have been attacked not once, not twice, not three times, four times. They invaded Jordan because Jordan attacked them after Israel begged Jordan to stay out of it. They said, please, don't get into this war between Egypt and Syria and ourselves. Jordan, being stupid, got involved. Israel counterattacked. And guess what? They took a piece of Jordan with them. Now, all of a sudden, these Israelis are terrible Nazis occupying the poor Palestinian land after they've been attacked not once, not twice, not three times, but four times, attacked by three countries on three different fronts. And because the Israelis happen to have a proficient military and were able to beat back the attack, all of a sudden they're horrible occupiers. This is insane. The Palestinians are not underserved by America, and they're not underserved by Israel. They're being betrayed, and they're being lied to, and they're being stolen from by their own leadership. Now, why don't you point that out to somebody? Why don't you point out Yasser Arafat, how he has lied and stolen from his people, the Syrians, the Egyptians, the whole sickening, disgusting, raghead legion of them, stealing from their people, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, and nobody holds them to account. It's always America's fault or it's Israel's fault. And then I got you screaming at me from Toronto. You cats are up there today alive and well because we got your freaking back on half the stuff Canada have their ass in a hot water over. So why don't you think about that one?
Well, let me tell you something. First
yeah, tell
of all,
me about
that's,
it.
That's all CNN news you're actually getting information from. Let me tell you, read the real news. Let's watch CBC. Let's watch Global. Let's read BBC. CNN, where are you getting your facts? It's actually all pro-Jew.
Actually, I read...
Oh, what,
so
CBC,
what do we got, a little good old-fashioned Canadian anti-Semitism going here? Is that it?
No, nothing like that.
What do we got, the skinhead chapter up there on Queen Street
East? I was just listening to you the other day that we're talking about
Krautenheimers?
No, let me tell you something, okay, Phil?
Yeah.
You see? Yo, put it this way. You guys are just talking about the anti-Semitism. You're talking about of the Nazi stuff. All of this stuff has never happened. Look at the Holocaust. That never happened.
Now
Holocaust
I know this is a gag
never,
call.
Never happened.
Good boy.
Those are
good
documents.
Boy. I know what happened. They bounced you off every talk station in Toronto, and so you finally got through on mine. Is that it?
Whatever, Phil.
Later on, brother. Because I kept the guy on the line, I could have kept talking about the Holocaust never happened thing, but then, you know, then I'd have to talk about child molestation being a valid pursuit. See, if you don't believe the Holocaust ever happened, then you also believe that child molestation is a valid recreational pursuit. See, because it's as wacky, it's as goofy, it's as sick, it's as perverted. 1-800-449-8686. I want to bring on right now, we have five gentlemen from five different countries. We are talking about the Security Council of the United Nations, a representative from Russia, a representative from France, from China, Great Britain, and the United States. And I want to welcome all of you gentlemen. Thank you, first of all, a gentleman from China for joining us.
Well, it's a vast pleasure, Phil. It's great.
And the gentleman from Russia, the Russian Federation, sir.
It's always good, Phil. We always love to be on program.
All right. And also, of course, our French friend, sir, and you know we do a lot of bashing of the French, but really, sincerely, you know, all kidding aside, we hate your guts.
This is wonderful, Phil. I'm glad to be on your program.
And, of course, the Englishman. How are you, sir?
Well, I say, Phil, it's just wonderful.
Well, I'd like to tell all of you guys that, first of all, we have to... What? David? Hold on. Will you gentlemen hold on?
I will hold on. Yeah, I'm going to hold on, Phil. No problem.
Okay. What's up, David?
Holy Christ.
What?
You got to be kidding me.
What?
Oh, I got on the Chinese representative and the,
I'm doing some fake voices.
Those are the worst fake voices. And that Chinaman voice. Hey, man, I want to do it. Holy God. What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm trying to...
What are you doing? And that Englishman, I say, what am I, an Andrew Lloyd Webber's hot tub? The British happen to be friends of ours. You going to make the guy sound like he's a butt pirate on top of everything else you've been doing to me today?
I'm making a comment about...
Yeah, what are you making a comment about?
About the Security Council.
Well, with those voices?
I did a...
You do that Chinaman... The Chinaman alone is worth the price of admission.
Yeah, everything is okay.
What do you think, they're all buck teeth with the flat forehead? Is that it?
I don't really know how to do a Chinese voice.
You got it. You got it. And the Russian sounds like the French, and the Frenchman sounds like me. Do me me a favor, will you?
What?
Don't do the phony baloney voices with the, you know, just do this stuff. Yeah, I love the bitch that you do. And what's with that Canadian?
Who?
That Canadian that just called up.
He was a guy that was saying the Holocaust never happened.
Keep him off the air.
No, I will not. I'll take calls from Canada. I don't care.
Well, then don't be calling him a Canuck, you jackass.
Look, all I'm trying to say is this. The fact...
Yeah, do whatever you got to say. Do it without the...
Yeah, nice to be on a program, Phil.
Do it without that.
I'm sorry. Yes, I will.
Yeah, there you go. We got the five representatives from the Security Council. Oh!
Okay. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Listen, our website is philhenryshow.com. Tell you what, you want to know a little bit about our radio show and the things that we do here, why don't you do this? Why don't you log on to our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. You log on, you go on, you take a look, you love, you live, you listen. You can check out our comedy archives. It goes back, in some instances, like 7-8 years. Or you can listen to the 30-day archive. Our 30-day archive has all of our shows from the last 30 days archived right there. That's what a 30-day archive is. You can also, of course, access our webcast archive. You can take a look at our souvenir shop. You don't need the backstage pass for that. Souvenir shop has the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse bowling shirt. We have the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. We have a brand new, the official Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt, recommended by Bobby Dooley, hand-knit by Bobby Dooley. Steve Dooley has wiped his pits with it. It's a quality 100% cotton peak shirt in navy blue and features a well-knit collar and cuffs and a two-button placket. So you got to check all of that out on our website in the souvenir shop, philhenryshow.com. And please, please, if you don't buy anything else, pick up a copy of our Best Of CD, the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. $20. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. This year's CD, the Best of the Year 2002 CD, is a two-CD set for only $20. You go grab that. It's a fantastic thing. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
This is out of FHM, the wildest parties of all time. Was this FHM or Maxim? FHM. Have we been through to this month's Maxim? Maxim, are you aware that Maxim is the number one magazine in terms of circulation among men in America today? I bet you most people don't know that. Anybody read Playboy anymore? You still read Playboy? You still look at the pictures? Do you still turn the magazine sideways with your tongue kind of halfway out of your mouth and going, huh? You got a subscription? You got the wildest parties of all time. Fire-wielding, that wasn't on the air, was it? As long as the pages aren't sticky.
Yeah.
Fire-wielding rednecks, naked Hell's Angels. Well, there was the Colorado Campus Demolition Bash in Boulder on May 3rd, 1997. The rebellion at college these days amounts to some long-haired scrub wearing a no-war-for-oil T-shirt safely under his cashmere sweater. That's why it was so refreshing. 500 University of College Colorado students amped up a dull block party by hurling Molotov cocktails and bricks at police who fired rubber bullets in return. Big deal. Anybody ever hear about burning down the Bank of America in Santa Barbara? Now that was a party. The Malcolm Forbes Pleasure Oasis, Tangiers, Morocco, August 89. I can't read this stuff. I can't read any of it. It's I can't read it. I can't read it on the air. Andy Warhol stops a bullet. The Hells Angels get acquainted with LSD. The Moulin Rouge grand opening. Tyco shareholders. See, what happened a few years ago is some students got really drunk at the University of Santa Barbara in Goleta, California, and they decided to go and burn the local branch of the Bank of America to the ground, which is exactly what they did do. Now, the reason was given, this is the reason that was given. Well, Bank of America funds third world dictatorships, and they also carry the mortgage on a lot of the homes that the students have to rent, and they're gouging us for rent. Now, that was the reason given. But the fact of the matter was that just everybody got drunk. There wasn't any real reason for burning the B of A branch, other than the fact that somebody got juiced, made a homemade Molotov cocktail out of a Schlitz malt liquor bottle, and decided to see if it would go through the window at the B of A, and it did. So everybody else started chucking in fire. Next thing you know, the thing burned to the ground. Now, Bank of America, which I know is a national brand, it's a national bank now. It used to be a California bank. Have you ever seen that dove of peace that flies? Do you know why that's there? It was to say to the students that burned down the branch that we believe in peace, that we extend a hand of peace to you. After they got their branch burned to the ground. Now, most of the students who burned the branch to the ground because of alcohol poisoning don't understand, even to this day, what that means. They just, what? You know, they're like listening to one side in a chair someplace. I understand. But I was there a week after they burned the B of A to the ground, and I remember sitting in a park and some bands were playing. I was sitting there with my little knapsack, and I'm on the ground, and I'm looking up, and it was one of these typical bands, one of these free concerts in a park near the school campus, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing something like this. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, this next tune. Ding, ding, ding. You want to shut up, man? Ding, ding. Okay, I wrote this next song when I was in jail. One, two, three. So things haven't changed that much. Yeah, the bands have changed, but the reasons for forming them are still the same. Okay, I wrote this last song when I was in jail. One, two, three. And the lead guitarist, ding, 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 ding. And the guy's like, well, you want to shut up, man? I'm trying to talk here. Ding, ding. Fantastic. Like, tuning the guitar would matter at all. Like, it's going to make the song... Like, the cat knows how to tune a guitar. He's got to tune it to the key of the song because he doesn't know how to do the chords, you know. Every song, he just tunes the strings to the chord, and that way he can just keep... But I got there, and the bank was burned to the ground, and I asked somebody what happened, and that's exactly what they said. It was just at a party, that's all, man. I said, well, everybody's sort of positioned it as being a political statement. What? What are you talking about? What's political? Political. Oh, no, I don't know, man. Yeah, is that like a new car or something, or some kind of disease? Because I don't know what the hell that is. Hey, question for you. Why are all people who are sexologists, why do they all look as if they've been sucked through a freaking straw? Everybody that calls himself a sex therapist or a sexologist, I saw a guy on TV the other day. He was a Dr. Ted something or other, a sexologist, right? This guy looked like he'd been sucked right through a freaking straw with that kisser on him. And the Dr. Ruth, let's face it, nice lady, but... Do you really want to have a biblical knowledge of a munchkin? And this other guy I saw, or they are so sexy and so gorgeous, you have a hard time believing they actually have a degree in something. And that's very, you know, it's extremely wrong of me to think that way. But I actually met a lady. She was on my bachelor party show. We did a bachelor party broadcast when Marie and I got married. And her name was Ava. Ava Cadell, I think is her name. And she was very beautiful. And like, you really got a degree? Well, why wouldn't I? Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, like you too. You're very beautiful, you know. You know, I bet you Dr. Ruth was something to look at before electricity.
Every last one of them. And now we bring on Hans, Dr. Hans Gyro. He is a sex therapist. And Dr. Gyro, what do you see most of? Well, I'm, yeah, he's had a stroke and only one half of his mouth works.
You see, the penis is an amazing organ.
What in the hell, dude? When's the last time you used yours?
And more and more. I think sexual freedom is wonderful. Wonderful. Just express yourself as much as you want.
What happened to your face?
Oh, it was a hunting accident. But anyway.
You know, half of your face got blown off. All right. It's very childish of me. Sorry. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. What we wanted to do here in the final segment of the program, we'll give you an opportunity to give us an idea as to what it is you did. And we were talking about vigilante justice and what we've all done in our lives as vigilantes. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean picking up a gun and going after somebody. Have you ever chased somebody down with your car, pulled them over, and said, "Hey, you throwing that cup out, man? I saw you throw that cup out." I know people that have done that. A friend of mine chased a guy down who'd thrown a milkshake cup out the window, right? Chased the dude down and goes, "Hey, man, that's $500, man. I live here too, huh? I live here too." Scared the guy to death. But do you applaud that or do you find that wrong? You think that's psycho? I applaud it. It makes me feel good. Psycho, I guess. You can get yourself killed. There's no doubt about it. Friend of mine, one time I was driving down the street and some guy cut me off. Friend of mine chased this guy, goes, "What the hell are you doing, man? You're lovely." Like that. And then there's the time that my dear friend here, Mr. Taylor, was sitting out in front of his house, drinking himself a cold one, and down the street, hauling ass at about 90, comes some kid in a Mustang, squeals around the turn. So Taylor jumps in his car and chases the guy, gets to the end of his street, and goes, "I live on the street." "Okay, whose car is it? Come on. Who is it? All right, nobody going to tell me? Let me tell you something, man. I understand you race fast. I understand you got a hot car. I get it. I love to race too, man. But if I ever see you run this car down my street at that speed again, I'm going to beat your ass." You ever done that? I, one morning, was rolling out of my house. And I had the kids with me, and I wasn't taking them to school. I take it personally when I've got the kids with me, because I think everybody that drives poorly has it in for me and wants to kill the kids. I take it personally. So this guy comes hauling ass up the street in a truck. He's a construction worker on his way down to somebody's house to do some work. And he zipped by me, and so I swung it around. I went up there going, "Hey, man, I got four kids in this car." And the guy, you know, to his credit, stared at me like, you know, "I could take out the claw into my hammer on your face, sir." Janice beat somebody up one day out in front of Piggly Wiggly because they had 13 items on a 12-item line. It's incredible. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And the amended obesity suit from McDonald's is sort of steaming forward. McDonald's on Thursday dismissed as senseless the filing of an amended lawsuit in New York alleging the fast food chain sells foods that are more hazardous than customers expect. So they've amended the lawsuit on the advice of the judge, saying, "Yeah, we know the food is unhealthy, but we didn't know it was that unhealthy." There's another lawsuit out there. This doctor who was branding the uterus with the initials of his school. Have you heard about this?
apparently, according to him, it is a common practice when doctors are working in that part of a woman's body to mark a part of the uterus so they know where they are, so they can remember what part of the organ they need to return to and continue the surgery. It is done with some kind of an iron, some kind of a burning or cautering iron. Well, this doctor and other doctors sometimes make a unique mark that is their own. Some of them make just a slash, some of them make a check mark, some of them put initials. This guy put the initials of his school, which was the University of Kentucky, am I right? Which is where he took his pre-med. Very proud of his school, that's what he did. Now, the guy's getting sued. And I got to say to myself, why would they sue the guy? And I know why. I know why they're suing that guy. They're suing him because women don't like the idea of a man being in their private area in the first place. It bothers them. And to think that the guy's branding them, even if they don't see it, it is a mark of possession that women take as a demeaning thing and as if they are chattel to be bought and sold. This is a woman who feels she's been branded by a man for possession purposes. And he did it on the uterus, which is her female sex organ area, shall we say. Because I don't know, the technical term is female sex organ portion or something. That's why they're suing. It's very emotional. It's symbolic. Everybody in this country, the world over, we deal with symbols. It's symbolic. Symbols are important. People say, why should I get married? Well, the reason why you get married is so that it is a symbolic union of you in front of the tribe. That is the society. That is the nation. That is the culture. And it's somehow validated, all right? It's a symbol. Why do people still fly Nazi flags? Why do people still have hammer and sickle? It's a very powerful symbol. Why do people wear wedding rings? It's a powerful symbol. Why do people wear ear hoops? Why do people have tattoos? These things are symbols. We are a symbol-driven people. We are a symbol-driven race. And for a guy to tattoo a woman's uterus with the University of Kentucky to her is a symbol of possession. She thinks the guy owns her on some level, or is attempting to own her on some level. Think of it. What could be more intrusive than a man branding a woman's sex organs? A doctor, while she's unconscious. While she's unconscious. Now, I realize a lot of this is over people's heads. I mean, I don't want to treat you like you're stupid. I don't think you're stupid. But I will tell you this. The women who are filing these lawsuits don't even know that's why they're doing it. They're just saying, it's demeaning. And it intrudes upon my feminine anonymity. Well, whatever. What it is that he branded your sex organs. You are now his concubine. That's how it feels. Now, is it based upon that? Is it a legitimate lawsuit? Well, yes. Of course it is. Based upon that, based upon our loves of symbols and all of these things. I mean, we have lawsuits over wedding rings. Why not a lawsuit over something like that? Yeah, it's valid. But the problem is nobody's going to get it. So they'll throw it out. It's frivolous. And you know what? In the long run, it probably is. But just remember, man, if you're dealing symbolically with certain parts of the body or certain kinds of people like women, watch out what you do because you're playing with fire there. You brand a woman's uterus. To her, that means a lot of things. But mostly it means that you now own her. And I can't think of too many things more intimate. You know, sex between a man and a woman is pretty intimate. But when you're like got the uterus laid right out there, Charlie, you got a branding iron and she's unconscious. Let me tell you what. I'm not calling it rape, please. Don't get me wrong. Please don't even go there. But what I am saying is there is a certain symbolism to all of it. And when you put UK right there, even her husband can't get in there and put his stamp of approval. I bet she'd like to put if her husband's name was Charlie. He'd love to write Charlie, with love, Charlie. He can't. The doctor's got UK in there. You know what? I'd kick that guy's ass. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a lot of crap. Read Carl Jung. You'll dig what I'm saying. It's a lot of crap. Now, the McDonald's lawsuit, they got something there, and I'm joining that suit because I am now at a 43-inch waist,
and getting bigger. I got a call from the wardrobe guys over at NBC. What size pants do you wear, Phil? I said, what week is it? Well, last week you were 42, and I'd probably be about a 43 by now. So I'm suing McDonald's. I'm joining that lawsuit because I can't stop myself. I pull in. I get big double quarter pounders with cheese, with the melted cheese kind of stuck to the paper. And then I suck on the cheese paper for a while. Oh, yeah. It's bad. It's getting worse. I'm throwing away the meat now, and I'm just eating the bun. I just eat what's in the bun. Just take the patty out and throw it. I eat the cheese with the lettuce and the special sauce. I love that. My kids say, I don't like the special sauce. What, are you crazy? That's the best part. Kids will order hamburgers. Yeah, no mayo and no ketchup. And are you nuts? Mayo is out of sight. What? It's like spoo. Well, I don't care what you think it is. I think it's great. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. And now, Phil Hendry.
Robert Green is with the Merchandise and Grocers League of America. He's with Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Good evening, Mr. Green.
Good evening, Phil.
Have you seen a run? We're talking about people last week panic buying duct tape and all this stuff. Have you seen a run on this?
No, I'm not seeing it yet, but I am seeing a more, energized customer.
What do you mean by energized?
Well, a customer that's a little more rushed than usual. We call them in our business Friday Nighters. They're getting the odd item here and there in a little more harried a manner, but I can't really say whether it's because of any impending conflict with Iraq.
Because, the impending conflict with Iraq or the threat of terrorism, they say that duct tape and this kind of stuff is off the shelves, water is off the shelves.
No, really, what I'm seeing and what's probably a little more troubling to any grocer is an increase in the incidents of in-store damage. A customer reaching for something quickly knocks something else off the shelf. It could be glass. It spills. It could be coffee beans. I can tell you, I'm a very moderate man, but the day we got in gourmet coffee beans, anytime you give the public access to bulk food items, for instance, there's going to be a mess.
So there's a little wear and tear on your store, more than usual?
I don't know if it's more than usual, Phil, but there is, Phil, but we deal with it in stride.
Do you have to put extra people on to deal with the cleanup or the stocking? You know, the stocking of the shelves?
Well, I used to until I realized that was money out of my pocket, and I found out that we could assert store policy a little more, and it would save on overhead. And so I think, ultimately, it's better for the customer. What I do when I see a customer spill coffee beans, for instance, or drop a jar of olives or unloosen an Apple display that maybe I worked on since 6 o'clock in the morning, we got in some beautiful galas over the weekend, and I wanted to make them look nice, and we got them on special for 79 cents a pound, and that's not a price you're going to find at Vaughn's or at Ralph's. And I had this display that I'd worked on, and here comes this, woman, and she's got a kid. And she's in a hurry, and she's got the kid in the shopping cart, and she pulls a bag out real fast, and four bags come down with it. And
when was this? Just this past Saturday, you said.
Just this past Saturday, and she has really what I think is the unmitigated gall to open a bag of chips for the little kid. See, and I'm the one that pays for that, and I want to let your listeners know, you open a bag of chips in my store, I pay for it.
Well, a lot of people open up the chips, but anyway, you wanted to get to... A lot of people pay for it at the cash register.
Well, maybe they do and maybe they don't. I don't know. But she grabs some apples, this lady, and the whole display comes pouring down onto the floor because she had to have that one in the middle. And boy, that's the one... You know, I lay awake at night thinking about that one customer that had to have that apple in the middle, and down comes a display that I worked on since 6 a.m.
All right.
And so I said to her, you know, 6 months ago I would have had a stock guy come out, but this time I said, we are asserting store policy, and I would like for you to, what we'll do is we'll have some of the stock guys come out and take the kids back so that they're okay. And
well, what are you asking?
Well, what we're asking the customers to do is to clean up their own mess.
You're asking?
If you break it or you disrupt the display, we ask you to fix it and clean it up, and I don't think that was asking too much. And I went over to this gal with her kid and these potato chips, which already, my jaw was a little tight. And I said, ma'am, at this time, what I'm going to want you to do is I'm going to want you to go ahead and restock that Apple display.
So you're asking the customer to pick all the apples up and put them back?
That's what we're doing.
Now, she's with it, and you said the bag boy comes out for the kid?
No, but when we say the bag boy can watch the children, we're happy to take the groceries up front and keep them there until she's finished.
You're taking the kids away?
Well, Phil, because they only distract the mother. We got them up in the stock room. They're fine. And an apple display is easy as should be, and she's going to pick those apples up. And I will say, I'm sorry you knocked them over, but I didn't knock them over. You did, and one way or another, you're going to pick them up.
Talking with Robert Green about in-store damage in grocery stores, especially since people are running in for duct tape. He says that customers who knock over Apple displays or break things, you say you're forcing them to clean the stuff up. Now, people are not going to want to stay and pick stuff up. They're going to try and leave.
Well, she replaced the display it was, or she doesn't leave.
All right, here's where we might have a problem. How do you keep somebody from leaving?
Well, no, it's easy. I stand there, I monitor them. This is nothing. I don't want you to make it sound as if it's kidnapping or something. I don't need some woman coming into my store with a kid who's eating my potato chips that wasn't paid for, and now on top of that she knocks over the Gala Apple display that I worked on since 6 o'clock. And what am I supposed to do, stand there and pick it up? So I just say to her, if she tries to get up, in fact, this gal did, I put a hand on her shoulder, I gently pushed her back down onto the floor, and I say, it's not a big deal, just clean it up.
All right, we have Robert Green with us here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We have a situation in his store where when people come in knocking over Apple displays, knocking over jars, dropping bags on the floor, you insist that they clean it up, not one of your stock boys.
No, those people are paid to stock shelves. They're paid to bag groceries. They're not paid to go clean up this her mess. And we give the kids a plastic grocery bag to play with so they're happy and they're having a good time. The things that I think are important, Phil, is that people understand this is money out of my pocket.
All right, Mr. Green, cleaning it up is one thing. Did you tell a lady by the name of Amanda Kittner to shut up and clean it up?
All right, well, I'd like to back up for a minute.
Okay, but did you do that?
I'd like to back up. She had pulled a jar of Santa Barbara olives off the shelf. Now, this is a gourmet item. We only keep these on the premium aisle. She pulled them off the shelf. They smashed to the floor. Now you got glass. Now you have olive juice all over the floor. And so
what did she do?
Then she comes over to me, and she says, I'm the store. And she says, she asked me if I'm the store manager. I said, yeah. And she said, well, I need some help. And I said, well, first of all, you're supposed to go through the checker or box boy. You don't come right to me. You never come right to me. You go through a checker or a box boy.
All right. Is that standard in grocery stores for if people have a complaint?
You first go to the checker or a box boy. You never, ever come directly to the manager of the store. And only then, when they bring the message to me, do I decide whether I want to deal with it.
All right, so she came to you.
Right, and she says, I'm sorry I knocked the jar of olives off that shelf at aisle 5, and you need to get somebody to clean it up. And I said to her, well, no, I won't. And I showed her a mop that we keep near the customer service desk and a dustpan, and I said, it's store policy that you clean it up.
I got to tell you something right now. You have got brass you-know-what.
Mr. Henry, I pay my guys to stock shelves and to bag groceries, not to clean up a mess that somebody came into my store and made, and maybe, if I'm lucky, they bought a tube of toothpaste.
All right, so you told her to clean this up.
I said it's store policy that you clean it up. and I'll take your cart and your purse, which I did. Now, that's when she told me, and I'm quoting directly, to go to hell. And she started for the exit, and that's when I said, regrettably, what I said.
Well, what you said, sir, according to this, you called her an effing C-word. Isn't that right? You don't deny that.
No, sir, I do not deny it. But she denies that she told me to go straight to hell. The bottom line is...
But you called her an effing C-word when she told you to go to hell.
That is correct. But the bottom line is she's 86 from our store. I've alerted the store manager over at Vons and Food Giant to be on the lookout. I've also called the senior center where she lives, and I told them.
All right, Robert Green, 1-800-449-8686. He has initiated something that he thinks, Mr. Green, with all due respect, you think, I don't know if it will happen, that he thinks is going to take off nationwide in grocery stores, that when a customer knocks over something, breaks a jar, knocks over apples on a display, knocks over something, that the customer themselves is impelled to clean that mess up, or they're not allowed to leave the store. I question the legality of holding somebody there.
Well, I'm not really holding them, but I tell them, you got to clean it up. And
but you did put your hand on somebody and push them back down on the floor.
I did do that, but my attorney tells me that if I don't really keep them in the store, in other words, I say, go and clean it up, and 9 times out of 10 they'll do it because people are afraid to leave, then I'm in the clear.
All right, this gal who knocked over the olives?
No, I said, go clean it up. And, you know, she gave me a hard time.
Robert Green, manager of Fraser Foods in Buena Park. This old lady, you say senior center, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, she told you to go to hell. She wasn't going to clean up the olives.
Well, I called the senior center where she lives, and if I ever see that little bus over here again that they take the old people in, I told them you can make a U-turn right out of the lot. And I know the name of the place, because they have the small bus that they bring the old people.
No, I know that.
And I've told them to get out. Get out and stay out.
I'm telling you, 1-800-449-8686, the number here. Robert Green is the manager of a store. If you knock things over in a grocery store, you knock over an Apple display, you knock over a... You knock over some jars of olives, the coffee beans come pouring out. Generally, what we do is we go to a store manager and say, I'm sorry, could you get somebody to clean that up? In his store, he says he makes the customers clean it up. He takes their cart, takes their purse, and in the case of one woman, Amanda Kintner, whose story that we got it from the police, he escorted the children to the back stock room and held the kid there until she cleaned up a Gala Apple display that she had knocked over. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
One 800 449 8686, and now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I can turn right around and leave.
All right, Robert Green is a grocery. Are you a grocery manager, sir?
Well, I manage two of the stores for Fraser Food.
And you feel that when people knock over displays in your store, when they knock over bottles, when they knock over jars, when they knock over displays, they are supposed to clean it up?
Absolutely, Phil, and it's an unusual thing, but it is a time saver and it's a money saver. If this old gal hadn't been so lazy and got out of her scooter to pick up the jar of olives, it would never would have happened. And it's a simple thing, and it's something we try to educate people to. When you knock over a jar of olives, when you knock over a display of apples, when you knock over some coffee beans, don't tell me about it. Don't come to the store manager and bother him about it. Clean it up. I dare say, Phil, if anybody knocked over coffee beans in their own home, they'd clean that up. If they broke a jar of olives, they'd clean it up.
I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong, but to force people to do it.
I'm not really forcing them to do it.
Well, you're telling them you're going to clean it up, and we're taking your kid to the back. I mean, you're not holding the kid hostage, but you're taking the child, her purse.
We're keeping it for safekeeping.
You're keeping her groceries, her purse, and her kid for safekeeping. This isn't a situation...
Mr. Henry, I'm not holding hostages, no, sir. I'm simply saying, you're going to go over there and clean that up. I'll take the kid.
I'll take the kid.
I will take your son, get over and, you know, I...
You said to this old lady, there's a mop, go over and clean it up.
And she told me to go to hell.
And then you called her an effing C-word.
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you apologize?
No, sir, I did not. I had nothing to apologize for. That's exactly what that old... You know, I think back on it now, and I'd...
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Zakiya, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I think Mr. Glenn is a complete asshole and need to have some training and customer service.
Look at that language.
Yeah, you're there to serve the public. The public is not there to serve you.
Nice language.
Those customers are the reason that you're in business.
They're not allowed to come into my store and act like pigs.
Well, that's just your opinion of it, which is a very negative one.
I'm not
okay?
there to clean up
if
after
you. If it's a
you.
Big problem, if they have an accident there, hire a person specifically to clean up accidents.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay? And
honest.
You're creating
you
a job right there.
You and me, let's be honest. Have you got a gold tooth?
Excuse me?
All right.
Have you got a gold tooth?
You don't have
no,
to answer.
No, I don't, but
you
that
do
has
have
nothing to do
question.
With you
well,
as a manager. You're a manager of a business. You're going to go out of business because people are not going to shop because
wait
you have
minute.
A nasty attitude.
How many people go into
okay?
stores and knock
if
stuff
I
over?
If I knock something down in your store and I have the courtesy to come and tell you and you try to hold my kids hostage, believe me, you got something physical
I'm
on
not,
your hands,
I'm
buddy.
I'm not holding your kid hostage.
Okay?
I'm not
that's
holding
what you're doing to that lady and purge her personal... Her purse and her groceries, they're holding a person as a hostage.
I'm not holding anybody hostage. I'm saying, get your ass down, clean it up.
See, you're supposed to be serving the public. You say, get your ass down.
Well,
no,
you're the one
that's not. No, that's not good customer
service. Didn't you just call me an a-hole?
Yes, I did.
All right.
But guess what? I'm not a store manager. I'm not serving the public.
Oh, you get to be a pig and I don't.
I'm an individual. You're an entity. You're a business.
You get to be a pig and I don't.
That obviously will not be in the business for long with your attitude.
Well, first of all...
No, you need training. Coming to the 21st century.
People are going to need duct tape, bottled water, emergency tuna.
Customers are the reason that you exist.
You need me because what are you going
to
do for duct tape?
If you talk to a person like that, you don't need
your business.
Besides
that stash you got.
You're going
to
lose...
All right, you guys are not listening to each other. 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, sir.
Yes?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Yes, I'd like to say to the store manager, first of all, I'd love to see you go up to Mike Tyson and tell him he's not going to pick up the jar on the glass on the floor and tell him
Let's start with the people I deal with, the customers. Some slob comes in and knocks over all... Mike Tyson...
Hello? You there, sir? Okay, he's not. 1-800-449-8686. How many stores do you guys have?
We have 3 stores in the Southern California area. They are all stores that have this policy. And I can tell you something, Phil, we do a good business. But the time has come for supermarkets across America to stop allowing customers to dump crap all over the floor. I mean, these people come in.
I don't know if it's a real big problem, but I've seen people dumping stuff on the floor, and all it takes is a guy with a mop, and they clean it up.
Well, if that's all it takes, then the customer can clean it up. But the time has come for every supermarket across America to stop letting people come in and act like pigs. They dump the Apple display. They dump the coffee. Get them to clean it up.
All right, Robert Green, who is a manager, well, he's a CEO of Fraser Foods in Buena Park. He is no longer cleaning up the busted items that you guys leave on the floor. You're supposed to clean it up. Now, he said that he can mostly tell people to just stay there and clean it up, and they do it. But one old lady told him to go to hell. He called her an effing C-word, and it was on. Good luck, Bob. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. On the website, you can pick up the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, which is a CD that we raise money for my friend's place with. And this year's Best of CD, which is called World Famous, is going to be available online at philhendryshow.com or by calling the following number, 1-877-616-7445, 1-877-616-7445. Now, next week, Thursday, February 27th and Friday, February 28th, We are going to be at the Aspen Room in the St. Regis Hotel in Aspen for the HBO Comedy Arts Festival. We'll be on stage for an hour Thursday, on stage for an hour on Friday. And if you'd like to come out and see us, well, that's where we're going to be. I don't know how much tickets are. Is that thing, is it free? I got no idea, man. But you can go to the website. If you go to our website, we link the HBO Comedy Arts Festival, and you can see what they have in store for you there. And there's going to be a lot of big names. So, you know, it'll be cool. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Vagisil for the mind. And now, Phil Hendry.
Unlicensed and drunk drivers continue to get behind the wheel and have accidents despite tougher laws designed to keep them off the road. Right. Habitual drunken drivers make 40% of all drunken driving trips. After a nationwide telephone survey of drivers, the foundation said there was only 1 in 50 chance that a drunk driver would actually be arrested. Look, you're talking about a drunk. If they got a drink, they got a drink. They're going to get behind the wheel of a car. Drivers without licenses are compounding the danger, according to a second study. I don't forget, I got hit by some guy from Mexico like 15 years ago. No insurance, no driver's license. The dude's from Mexico. He's here working as a janitor illegally. And he caved in the whole back end of my car, right? And, of course, my insurance had to pay for it. I had uninsured motorist coverage. And this cat, forget it. He's gone, man. Foundation President and CEO Peter Kissinger said states need to do a better job screening drunk drivers. Oh, forget it. You can't do it, man. How are you going to screen drunk drivers? You know, that idea they had about blowing into a thing and then the car starts? What about that? Why don't they do that? You know, a lot of people are used to blowing into things when they're in a car. Blow into it and, you know, you can't start your car. Did they ever breathalyze you at the auto dealership when you're buying a car? Well, here's your brand new BMW, Mr. Jones. Thank you. All right, there you go. There's your car, and here's your registration. Here are the keys. Have a nice drive.
You're GD right.
They never breathalyze you, and every car I've purchased over the last 20, 30 years of my life, I've been drunk. When I walked into the showroom, I said,
okay, here's the car.
And, oh yeah, Mr. Henry. We have it right here. Far too often, these high-risk drinkers are not taken off the road. Look, let me tell you a story. I got a friend of mine in Miami. He's a lawyer, and he's also what they call a magistrate. A lot of attorneys down there take turns as traffic magistrates, meaning they sit as judges in traffic courts. He had a guy come before him who'd had his license suspended almost millions of times. Millions for drunk driving. Millions and millions of times, this guy, I mean, he showed me the file. Yeah, it was thick, just, you know, suspended license, DUI, 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 DUI. And guess what? The guy came before this magistrate one more time, DUI. Like 50, 60 DUIs this guy had. Every time he still had a valid driver's license. Now, you can't taking a license away ain't going to do it. Okay. Putting a guy in jail ain't going to do it. There's only one thing we can do with drunk drivers.
kill them. I think death, the death penalty. The death penalty to alcoholic drivers, and that will cure the problem. Look, I even know people, some people I know who are problem drinkers, and they even know enough to call. I was sitting one day, my wife and I were up at the beach, and we're in this little tavern, and there's a guy sitting next to me, and he's,
"You better believe it, I'm over here at the Navy base, and I love coming in here having a couple of drinks."
I said, "Dude, where's your car?"
"Oh, not me. I pay $1.50 for a share ride, and they come and get me."
This guy lived down the beach, right? But he didn't want to walk, and he didn't want to drive, so he paid $1.50 for those little mini buses. It comes and picks him up. He goes down to this bar where there's nobody in the joint. He's slugging back beers and trying to pick up the female bartender. And then he calls the $1.50 guy, and he comes and gets him and takes him back to his house. It works. You know, I don't know, you can't keep a guy out of that. You can't keep a guy out of his car. So the study also suggests that states eliminate diversion programs that allow offenders to escape license suspension and have drunken driving offenses removed from their records if they attend alcohol treatment programs. Maybe they shouldn't be sold booze. Have you thought about that? Hey, you know, you can't buy a gun if you've had a gun offense. Am I right? If you've got a felony gun conviction, you cannot legally get a gun. Now, I understand there are ways of getting around it. But where are you going to buy booze if you can't get it in a liquor store? I mean, is there a black market for hooch? I guess there is. You're going to have a guy go get it for you. Yeah, a little kid. Little kids, I mean, you know, remember in high school, you'd stand there and be some guy at the, "Hey, mister, did you buy me some beer?" Sure. I always wonder about the adults that did that. Because I would never do that now, but I frequently asked adults, like my dad, and they always said yes. "Hey, mister." "Oh, you're my father. Would you go and get me a six-pack of beer?" The study said the national average for the percentage of motorists driving without a license is 13.5%. Doesn't matter if you got a license. It has no bearing on whether you know how to drive or not if you have a license. Most people don't know how to drive. I'm saying that with all total, there's no rancor. I have no ill will. They literally don't know how to drive. I mean, they know how to turn the key on, and they can, but they don't get it about a lot of stuff. Changing lanes and signaling. And for instance, you know those lines, those lines on the road that are broke, those white lines on the road? You're supposed to stay on either side. I saw a guy one day driving right down the middle of it, right? Like he's landing an airplane. He's just driving right down the line. So I honked at this cat, and he looks at me like I'm nuts. "What? You're on the line, man." I'm looking at the guy. "You're on the line.
What are you talking about?"
The guy's like stunned.
"You're on. What are you talking about? You honking at me?
Look at you, idiot. You're driving down the line, man. You're driving down the line. What country are you from?" Always assume they're from another country, you know. He said, "I'm drunk. I'm following the line." All right. So, you know, and these cats that have been drinking and driving, forget it. That's why those cops are chasing half of those guys. You pull over a drunk driver, the guy's been drinking, they try to pull him over, he takes off. The study suggested that states impound driver's license plates when their licenses are suspended. That's good. Because that means that the cop's going to notice that right away. So he's going to pull you over, and he's going to smell the Johnny Walker just pouring out of that open window. All right. He said AAA will use the studies to push for continued federal support for traffic safety programs at the state and local level. It also suggested states do a better job of updating their records and make them available to officers during traffic stops. Whatever. You know where they get the highest percentage of, like, drunken driving is, like, places like Alaska, you know, where they drink to stay warm. And places like that. But really, you know, if you don't want a guy to drink and drive his car, guy gets 3 DUIs. Don't they have like a 3-strike law? 3 DUIs, and your car is taken away. Now, yes, the guy can get another car, but that's kind of a bummer having your own car taken away, don't you think?
three DUIs, and your wheels are taken from you. Well, what if he was driving his sister's car? No. I mean the car that's registered to him. Got to have a car registered to him, or any car that he drives regularly. Maybe it's a company car. Have that thing taken away. He's got to deal with it. Now, what's wrong with that? Guy says, Emerson, where's the car that you used for the company? It was taken away. It was impounded by the police for drunk driving. Well, you piece of garbage, you're fired. Thank you. I mean, it's going to make the guy's life tons more difficult than suspending a stinking license. Your car, it's gone. Hi, how are you? Great. This is your third DUI. Oh, really? Yeah. Well, we're going to impound your car, and guess what? You'll never see it again. You mean even if I sober up? Yes, you'll never see it again. You'll never see it again. And on top of that, you're still going to be liable for the payments. Now, because we're talking so much about drunk driving, I want a beer. See what this did? I'm talking about drinking, driving. I'm talking about beer, wine, alcohol. Now, before I get in my car to go home tonight, I want a beer. And maybe two. See, all this talk about DUIs don't do jack. It doesn't help anybody. It makes me want to drink and drive. I'm talking here about, well, what can we do to keep these guys off the road? And now the next thing, I want a cold one. I want a Miller High Life. I want a Miller High Life in this funky joint. I want a big-ass bottle, those big-ass green Heineken bottles. That one that Chris got me for Christmas. Remember that thing? I still got that in my house, Chris. That huge-ass bottle of Heineken. And if the day ever comes when I dry out, if the Iraqis attack with mustard gas, if I'm down on supplies, I'm opening that thing. That thing's beautiful. 1-800-449-8... No, seriously, take the car. That would be great. You're under arrest for DUI, and I see this is your third DUI. Yeah. You see that brand spanking new Mercedes S-Series? Yeah. You're still going to have to pay for it, and you're never going to see it again. Well, wait a minute. That's unconstitutional. No, it isn't. No, it isn't at all. It's a fine. It's a fine. Goodbye. That cat, then you put that thing into one of those cube-making crunch machines, and you can give it back to the guy as a big cube of freaking metal. What do you think of that? Hey, you want your car back? Yeah. Go on down here to Ed's Junk Heap. It's that big cube of metal that we plopped on the street. Go ahead. Get yourself a truck and it'll have your name on it. Charlie. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Here's a real brain surgeon who says the 9/11 terrorists did a lot of localized damage, but the most damage done to America is from our own government. Yes, of course. By its expansion through the Homeland Security Department, passage of the Patriot Act, seizure of airport screening activities, and now, yeah, that's terrible, isn't it? The seizure of airport screening activities is a horrible intrusion upon my freedom. Oh, my God, they might even do a good job of it. Give it back to the short, little, round, fat black ladies with the red coats. That's the American way. Passage of the Patriot, seizure of the airport screening, and now a $300 billion federal budget deficit. Oh, and now, hey, man, we've been running deficits since 1980. Listen, stupid. It is now impossible for ordinary people to travel by air in or out of the U.S. without first being approved by a government agent. There's no constitutional authority for most of these things. Just exactly what's the problem here, man? What exactly is the problem here? You'd think we're living in Nazi Germany. You know, let me tell you something. As a student of history, I know that for some people it was at one time like living in Nazi Germany. You know, but we've gotten better as opposed to some countries which just sort of stay the same. The Muslim faith was started, founded, whatever you want to call it, in 600 A.D. So the Muslim faith is about 600 years behind the founding of the Christian faith. Now, I ain't saying Christianity is superior. I'm saying Christianity informed a certain culture that is 600 years ahead of Muslim culture. That's all I'm saying. I said this a while back, and it bears repeating. Muslim culture right now is somewhere in the neighborhood of 1403, which means they got the sabers out, and they think the world is flat, and they imagine that the CIA controls everything, and God will them somehow to victory from their cave. So they're thinking like, you know, they're still living back in the Middle Ages. Now, for some reason, we got people in this country who believe that, we really deserved 9/11. And 9/11 doesn't have anything to do. You know, terrorism, man, is 40 years old. It's all intertwined. It's all interconnected. Just because we want to do something about it doesn't mean, you know, that suddenly if we're being proactive for the first time in the history of this war on terrorism, there never was a war on terrorism. Understand that there was never, ever, ever a war on terrorism ever in the history of the world until September the 20th, 2001, when the president said, the time is now for us to understand what we're up against, this thing called terrorism. And we not only are going to seek out terrorist organizations, but the states that sponsor them. I think you guys were there. I think you all heard the speech. Now, some people believe that it's a wrong war to wage, or we're waging it in the wrong way. I don't know exactly what you mean by that. We're going after a state that sponsors terrorism. Iraq. They sponsor terrorism. There's no proven link between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. Forget that, man. They're giving money to suicide bombers. They've trained Hamas. All right. As I said the other day, we've had people thrown off of cruise ships, thrown out of airplanes. We've had machine guns broken out in the terminals of airplanes, in airports, I should say. We've had planes blown out of the sky. We've had citizens destroyed in bombings of discotheques. We've had every kind of unconscionable and unacceptable behavior on the part of terrorists. Now when a guy finally draws the line in the sand and says, okay, enough is enough, it's over, now we're going after them, all of a sudden we got people crying about it because, frankly, it's their hobby. You guys that are against the war, I know what it's all about with you. You're perfectly comfortable with Hussein torturing his own people. You're perfectly comfortable sitting here in America feeling good about yourselves that you stopped the war against Iraq while Hussein continues to gas, butcher up, torture, and rape his own people. You're totally comfortable with that. In fact, it is far preferable to the alternative of freeing them, and yes, possibly some of them getting killed in a war of liberation. I know what you're all about. You're not fooling me. You guys want Hussein to continue to butcher up his own people because, after all, that's an internal matter, isn't it? Yes. It's an internal matter. It's none of our business, isn't that right? Spike Lee or whoever that bitch was that said that. And also, let's not forget one other thing. Saddam Hussein, this guy is just, he's a pint-sized guy compared to all of the nuclear weapons we have. I'm going to ask you a question. Who would you rather have all of our nuclear weapons right now, us or him? Just be honest with me, if it's possible, that is. Be honest. You guys would rather the Iraqi people continue to suffer under the UN sanctions, the ones you say you don't like. You'd rather they continue to suffer under those UN sanctions. What was the term I heard? The inspections are working? Ah, yes, yes, I heard that. Let's continue with the inspections. What you really mean is let's continue with the sanctions. The sanctions that a few months ago most of you clowns were saying you weren't in favor of. So let's be honest. What you really don't want is a war because you're afraid your own ass is going to get singed a little bit. As far as the Iraqi people are concerned, let Hussein torture them, let the UN sanctions kill them. You just don't want a war because, who knows, it may encourage the terrorists to bomb your little neighborhood. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? It's not? I thought I'd take a shot. No, I know it is. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, with or without the war, man, they're coming for you. Ooh, they're coming for you.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, it's
1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.